We're going to begin with a reading from the Bible in just a moment. But just before we do, let me set the scene for us. God's people, the Israelites, have just been rescued from slavery in Egypt. It's been really exciting. We've had the Passover. They've gone through the Red Sea. And they're now in the desert on their way to the promised land. But supplies are running low. So what will happen next? Well, listen in as we find out.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community rumbled.
Oh, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There, we sat around pots of meat and we ate all the food that we wanted. But you, Moses, have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.
Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they'll follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they're to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites,
In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?
Moses also said,
you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.
Then Moses told Aaron,
say to the Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he's heard your grumbling.
While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you'll be filled with bread. Then you'll know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other,
what is it?
For they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them,
it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat.
Have you ever been really, really hungry? You know, so hungry that your tummy makes funny noises and it hurts a little bit. You just really, really want food. That is how the Israelites were feeling in our true Bible story today. You see, they've been walking through the desert, through the wilderness for 2.5 months, and they had barely any food. They were so hungry that they started to grumble. Did you notice what they said to Moses? They were so angry. They said that they were so hungry that they wished they were dead. They were grumbling, and they were also really angry at God. They thought that God didn't care about them, and they thought that God was unkind for not giving them food. They were very wrong about that, though, weren't they? Does anyone remember what God did to help?
What did God do to help? What did he do? What did he send down? Yeah, what did he do? I thought you did. You should not go to an auction because you might end up going home with something. What did he do? What did he do? Anyone? Anyone? What did he do? Yeah. What did he do, Chris? He sent bread from the sky. Ow! Oh, sorry. He sent bread from the sky. God made it rain with bread. He made lots of birds land on the ground for them to eat in the evening for their dinner, and he made it rain with bread in the morning for them to eat the rest of the day. And he did it every day for them so that they would never go hungry. So instead of going to the cupboards or the fridge in the morning to get their bread or going to the shops to get their food, they just had to walk outside the front door and pick it up.
And now the reason we're using Wotsits as an image of this is not because this bread was cheesy and orange and came in packets. The reason is because the first time when God made the bread land on the floor, rain from the sky, the Israelites saw it and they said, "What is it?" And then they named it manna, which in their language means, "What is it? What's it? What's it?" They basically named this bread Wotsits. And that's what they ate for the next 40 years.
Well, our food might not literally fall from the sky like it did in Exodus, but all of our food is just as much a gift from God. Later in the Bible, in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. It says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father." It says that every good gift comes from God the Father. Everything we have, it says, is from Him. So before it's on our plates, it's in the cupboard or in the fridge. Before it's in the fridge, it's in the shops. Before it's in the shops, maybe it's in the factory. Before it's in the factory, well, it gets grown. It all comes from animals or plants. And who makes the plants and animals grow? God does. All of our food comes from God. All of it is a gift. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above.
Now, to help us remember that, we're going to say that lots of times through the service. And we want you guys to join in too. So when me or Mark say all good gifts around us, we'd love you to do this as well. And then we want you to say are sent from heaven above. So we'll practice all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. We're going to try and remember that another way as well, which is we spent some time writing all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above on lots of packets of Wotsits. So when you go, feel free to take a packet. And as you dig into these Wotsits, you can remember that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. That only cherry joined in that time, guys. I'm expecting better later in the service.
So the Israelites were really hungry. So hungry, their tummies were hurting, and then suddenly there was bread all over the place because God gave it to them. How do you think they must have felt? How do you think they felt? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Katie, what are you going to say? Yeah, confused. Yeah, that's what they said. What's it? Okay, well, what else do you think they might have felt? What do you think? What? Full. Full, yeah. Full and thankful and grateful, right? They must have been so happy and grateful. Before they'd been grumbling, surely now they would be grateful.
And if that was the case for them, eating the same food for 40 years, well, how much more should we be grateful? We've got so many lovely foods, haven't we? In fact, some of you guys have been drawing some foods. I wanna see, can you hold up and tell me which foods you've drawn? What are your favourite foods? Ooh, what's this that Peter's done? Bananas, wow. Sausages, apples, and pears. They nearly follow a theme, don't they? What's that, George? A pancake. And Bella, did you do a waffle? Very nice. Anyone else want to tell me their favourite foods? Any more favourite foods? Oh, Albert's drawn something. What's that? Orange. We've got lots of fruit lovers here. Brilliant. There's so much variety of food, isn't there? There are so many foods we like. And all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. That was better, wasn't it?
So there might be lots of hard things going on right now. But every time we look at the food on our plates, every time we open the fridge, we can remember that God is generous and kind. And we can be grateful. We can say thank you to Him. Actually, that's what we're going to do now. We're going to pray to God and we're going to thank Him for the wonderful gifts that He gives us. So let's pray together.
Thank you so much, generous Father, for all the good gifts around us that you give to us. Thank you for all the food that we enjoy every day. Thank you for oranges and bananas and sausages and waffles and pancakes. Thank you that you are so kind and generous. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sovereign Lord, for all the people who are involved in making our food. Thank you for the farmers who grow it. Thank you for the people who collect it and process it. Thank you for the delivery drivers who bring it to us. Thank you for all those who work in shops. Thank you for those who cook it for us and the people we can eat it with. Please be with them and help them as they do these important jobs. Amen.
And merciful Father, please forgive us for when we find it easier to grumble than to say thank you. Sorry for taking your gifts for granted. Please teach us to be grateful and thankful as we enjoy your gifts every day, and help us to be generous with them like you are. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we get to hear what happened next in our true story from the Bible. We get to hear what happened next to the Israelites in the desert. Listen in. Moses is just getting his beard on, though, so we might have to wait a second.
It's growing very quickly. Okay. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. So take an omer for each person you have in your tent.
The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, about 2 liters, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little didn't have too little. Everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them,
no one is to keep any of it until the morning.
However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots.
Oh! Oh!
And began
maggots
to smell.
Oh! Oh, no! Oh!
So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away.
Brilliant. So what have we learned so far? We've learned that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And God sent the manna, and he gives us our food every day, so that we can learn what he's like, that he is generous and he is kind, and so that we learn to be grateful.
So God gave the Israelites manna to eat, but they had to be really careful with it, because who was listening for how long it lasted? How long did the manna last before something happened to it and it went pretty gross? Katie, do you remember? Was it what? Like, good guess, it was one day actually. It only lasted for one day, and then it went moldy and it had maggots in it. We've got some maggots here. Does anyone want to see the maggots? There's a pot full of maggots. Do you want to see them?
No,
there are no maggots. It's okay. Oh, it's gross,
yeah. Well, look, their manna only lasted for one day. Well, our food lasts longer than that, doesn't it? But it does all go bad at some point. But all our food has a use by date. So we've got a bit of, got some food here. What have we got? Oh, custard, instant custard, October 2020. Better use that quite soon. Okay, sorry, Polly, bad three. Rovita, any guesses? It's like the worst game ever. October 2021, there you go. And chopped tomatoes. These should last a good long time, shouldn't they? July 2022. There we go, but however long it lasts, all of our food goes bad in the end. But why? Why does food have a use-by date? And I don't mean just so that we don't get sick and sue the people who made it. Why does food go off? Couldn't God have made it so that manna and mangoes and mushrooms and meatballs last forever?
Well, of course God could have made it so that food lasts forever. He could have made it so that manna lasts forever. But in our passage, we get a bit of a clue as to why the manna goes all maggoty and gross after just one day. And a bit of a clue as to why our food goes off too. You see, near the beginning of the passage, in verse 4, God says, The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them. I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So it was a test. The test was, would they trust God? Would they trust his words? Would they follow his instructions?
And as we saw in the last reading, some of them didn't. They didn't trust God to keep giving them their food every day. So they tried to collect more than they needed that day. I imagine some of them went out with wheelbarrows and then they tried to load them up. They tried to load them up with everything that they would need right until they got into the promised land. But what happened? It went mouldy and maggoty and it started to smell.
Not nice.
And actually, they didn't need to do that anyway, because what happened the next morning, what appeared on the ground? More manna. More what-ifs. You see, God kept his promise. He can be trusted. And do you know how long they ate manna for? For 40 years. So 14,610 times, allowing for leap years, God kept this promise and provided them with food.
Well, I wonder if it's similar for us. I think it is, because every day that we've been around, God has provided us with food, hasn't he? I've got my calculator here. I wonder if you can work out how many days has God provided you with food. Let's see. If you're three, if it's your third birthday, then that means that God has provided you food for 1,095 days.
Wow.
Pretty cool, isn't it? What about if you're 50? If you're 50, then God has provided you food for 18,262 days. God has provided you food. Let's say if you are 85, that means God has provided you food for 31,046 days.
Allowing
for leap years, of course. God gives us our food every single day. He gives us all of the good gifts around us.
Our
sense
from heaven above.
And even though we maybe go to the supermarket once a week or we get a delivery, we're doing those things, and the fact that we're doing those things shows that it's God providing for us, and it helps us to trust him.
It's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. There we go. Sure. Give us today our daily bread. We're saying, God, I trust you to give me everything that I need today. We're saying, all good gifts around us
are sent from heaven above.
And as God shows that he is generous, and more than generous, that he is trustworthy too, by giving us food, he's showing us that we can trust him to keep all his promises. And so as we learn to trust him for our food day by day, we learn bit by bit to depend on his words and to trust his promises every day.
Because unlike our food that goes out of date and goes mouldy and maggoty, God's words that we find here in the Bible, well, they never go out of date. They last forever. And our food will only keep us alive for so long. Well, God's promises provide life that lasts forever. And while the manna that we're told it tasted of honey, not cheese, honey. And in God's word, in Psalm 19, it tells us that God's words are sweeter than honey. Isn't that amazing? God's words are sweeter, tastier than the tastiest food, and they give us life forever.
Pray about some of those things again. We're going to begin by saying sorry to God. So when I say faithful God, please would you respond by saying, we are sorry. Faithful Father,
we are sorry.
Let's pray. Our faithful Heavenly Father, we want to say sorry for our failure to trust you as we should, for failing to obey you and how you say we should live. Faithful Father,
we are sorry.
For failing to trust your promises and your fatherly care. Faithful Father,
we are sorry.
For failing to pray about things and instead getting stressed on our own. Faithful Father,
we are sorry.
For forgetting your great love for us, love which took Jesus to the cross. Faithful Father, we are sorry. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and change him, love him, and to trust him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let's keep praying. Loving God, we want to pray too for those who are going through difficult times at the moment, for those who feel like that they're in a wilderness in some way. Please would you help them to cry out to you like the Israelites did, and please would you hear those prayers and comfort them. Help them to trust you and your promises, whatever they're going through and however hard things get. Please would you give them confidence that if they belong to you, you will definitely lead them home. Amen.
Amen. Well, do you look up there? Because I wonder if you have a special place at home where you put your most precious things, the things you want to keep safe and the things you want to remember forever. Maybe it's the fridge, and that's where you put special pictures that you've drawn at school or that you painted. Maybe it's the mantelpiece, and that's where you put your lovely ornaments or your special trinkets. Or maybe you've got a special box under your bed like this, and you put things in there which are really special and precious to you. I wonder where it is for you.
Well, for the Israelites, their most special place was actually a tent, not like this one. It was called the tabernacle, and it was where God lived. That's what made it special. Now, in this last bit of the story in Exodus 16, God tells Moses, and then Moses tells the Israelites, that they needed to put some of their manna in a jar. And then they had to put that jar in their really special tent, the tabernacle. And they had to keep it safe and special.
And even though every other bit of manna only lasted for one day, this jar of manna was to be kept for years and years and years. It was so that people would, in the future, would remember how kind and generous God is, that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, so that they would learn to be grateful and thankful, so that they would learn to trust him and his words. But I wonder if there was also another reason that they had to keep this bread. I wonder if, as well as making them look back, it was also there to help them to look forwards, to make them look forward to a special time when a special person would come.
Because many, many years later, a very special person would come. A man would come and he would feed a whole bunch of hungry people. 5,000 people, in fact, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And even more cool than that, just after he did that, he said to them, "I am the bread of life." He's saying, "Me, I am the bread of life." And then he said, "Your ancestors, they ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. But I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever."
Now, who do you think it was who said that? Who do you reckon said that? Any guesses? Who do you think? It was Jesus! Bang on, brilliant. It was Jesus. See, he claimed that all of this happened, all the manna, all the watsits for 14,610 days. That's a lot of watsits, isn't it? Not just so that the Israelites would be kept alive, not just to show us that God is generous and kind, to remind us that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, and not just so that we would learn to be grateful, not just so that we would learn to trust him.
Just like the manna came down from heaven, well, Jesus came down from heaven, didn't he? And actually, just like the manna they needed to live, well, Jesus is just as vital, just as important to life as the manna. And actually, just as important to life as our food now is Jesus. In fact, he is more important for life than the food that we eat every day. Because the people who ate the manna, well, they died, didn't they? That's what Jesus said. They died. They reached their use-by date, and they died. Because bread can only keep you alive for so long. But Jesus can give us eternal life. When we take him into our lives and we put our trust in him, he gives us life forever. And how does he do that? Well, he says that the bread he's talking about is his flesh, which he will give for the life of the world. He says he'll do it by giving himself up to death on a cross. And that means that if we trust in him, we can have life with God forever.
Wow. That is definitely something we should pray about again, isn't it? Let's pray one last time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son as the bread of life. Thank you that whoever trusts in him will live forever. Please would you help us to feed on him day by day as we read his words and as we depend on him in prayer. And Lord of the nations, we pray to you for our friends and mission partners, the Jones family, serving you in the Republic of Ireland. Please be with each of them in these difficult circumstances, whether leading services, supporting the vulnerable, or going to school. Please give them many opportunities to speak about Jesus, so that many in that area of Ireland will discover him to be as vital as bread. And would you help them to keep feeding on him themselves? Amen.
Amen. And generous God, thank you so much for the harvest gifts that we can bring today. We pray that they would be well used as they're distributed to those in need by Feed Project. And Lord, we pray that those who receive them, we pray that they would be well fed and that they might come to be grateful to you, that you're the giver of all good things, and that they would realize that. And that even they might come to hear of you and put their trust in your Son, who is the bread of life. We ask that all in Jesus' name. Amen.